thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. Amen. We continue our study on the book of Ecclesiastes. Remember now thy Creator series. Tonight's devotion is entitled Rebuke, taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 5 to 6. Just two verses for our consideration. The Apostle Paul gave these last words to Timothy at the close of his life. The book of 2 Timothy was the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. It was given to his disciple, one who was saved under his ministry, equipped and sent to serve God's people, one whom he prayed would pass on the spiritual heritage to other faithful men. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, through or thoroughly furnished unto all good works." The Apostle Paul tells Timothy of the danger of evil men, those who would cause the faith of his people to be shipwrecked. He tells him that they are on the prowl to deceive and harm, and their chief weapon to wreak havoc is deception. That was how Adam and Eve fell at the Garden of Eden, when they hearkened to the voice of the serpent over the counsel of God. Solomon was making a point to us when he began chapter 7. He has brought us to the funeral, and he has showed us the end of men. He tells us that this is the place we should begin to find bearing for life, at the end of life, that we may turn to faith in our Creator God. He tells us that this is true wisdom. It's not too late for you to know it now. And he tells us to be willing to listen to words of rebuke. Be willing to hear unpleasant words of rebuke. Matthew Paul says, "Though it causes some grief, yet frequently brings great benefit, even reformation and salvation, both from temporal and from eternal destruction, both which are the portion of impenitent sinners." So he tells us that let our hearts be tender and soft, willing to listen. This morning we were studying the tribe of Dan, and we said that the tribe of Dan was like the serpent, the adder, very cunning and skillful. This was how Jacob described the tribe of Dan. They did not have many endowment, but they were in fact the smallest of all the tribes. They didn't have anything with them that they can boast of. But here, but we saw how Jacob commented that they were a tribe that will do well because they were teachable. Because they felt themselves weak, therefore they were willing to learn, and therefore they grew. And the Danites were a tribe that was well commended by Jacob. And we see how important it is for the people of God to be able to hear to the hearkening counsel of the voice of God. So two thoughts that we want to think about today in this devotion. Rebuke. Firstly, hearkening, 5b. And from 5b to 6, spurning, meaning that not willing to listen, right? Not willing to be able, right, to what we said, to be teachable. So the Lord wants us to think and wants us to be able to have that kind of a spiritual demeanor that makes for good sons. This is what Paul is saying to Timothy. Okay, so he says in verse 5a, our first thought, hearkening. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise. The word better is the word good. Okay. It means profitable or beneficial. Okay, and he says it, and he's trying to make a contrast between the fool and the wise. The fool would deny and reject counsel in their daily living. And the fool seeks to live that kind of wanton lifestyle that is precarious to the soul. And he tells us that we are to be awakened, right, to the reality of profitable living. So the word rebuke means grave admonition that heals and strengthens while it wounds. The word means more than the dictionary meaning. If you check the dictionary, the meaning means of the word means sharp disapproval and criticism. More than that. Okay, but what we are saying here, the word rebuke that is used here, has that kind of restorative and feature, right, to reform and help the people of God. So the Apostle Paul exhorts Timothy not to forget all that he has learned, the wisdom of God's word that has been imparted to him all these years. Now it takes time to build a man, to build spirituality. It takes time to know ourselves, to know our own weaknesses. It takes time for us to change, to be willing to learn from our mistakes, right? To learn from the folly of our ways and to wise up. Okay. And so, Paul says to Timothy that he is to continue to search the scriptures that are able to make him wise unto salvation. And I like the words that Paul used. Through faith which is in Jesus, right? In Jesus Christ. What a powerful advice. Faith in Jesus Christ. This is the secret of success in the believer's life. Faith in God's way. Faith in God's method. Faith in God's character. All scripture, Paul says, is God-breathed. It is from the very breath of God that the Bible that we read is given to us. And here it is a description of the divine origin and source of scripture. That it is the voice of God speaking. And so every time we open the Word of God, every morning, every evening, every noon, when you open up the Word of God, be willing to begin with a prayer, asking God to grant you wisdom to understand His Word. And all the time, if you are willing to take time to be open to the Word of God, you'll find that the Word of God can speak to you, will speak to you, to help you in your life's journey. And so Paul says that it is beneficial, right, to Timothy. Right, and he tells him that it is good for you. It will help you continue to search the Scriptures. And what is it that is in the Word of God that is so useful for the people of God? Paul says that it is the good doctrines, the good principles of life. And the late Martin Lloyd-Jones, he made an insightful observation when he said, "We live in an age of specialists. And specialist almost invariably a man who is lost in details, that he often forget principles. Most of the breakdown in life today is due to the fact that certain basic principles have been forgotten." And the word doctrine is first used in the New Testament to describe the teachings of the Pharisees, men made doctrines. And he tells us that no, this is not what you ought to follow after. Follow after the Word of God, which Paul, by the inspiration of God, by the movement of the Holy Spirit in his life, has taught Timothy. And he tells us that it is these principles, these doctrines are profitable for you. And to show you what are the foundation rules by which you are to live by. So, for a successful marriage, we are told, right, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husband. Right. Very, very basic teachings that when you think and ponder and would take time to apply, you find that family life is a bliss. But when you fail, that's when problem comes. And so it is profitable for reproof, Paul says. For doctrine, for reproof. That's the word that we are looking at. Rebuke. Right? As a warning, but not only that, but it shows us what is wrong with our life. You know, when you read the Word of God, and you study the Word of God with prayer, invariably you'll find the Word of God speaking to you, showing you your lack. And you're so happy when you receive this rebuke, you know, from the Word of God. You know that, this is so needful. And the Lord wants us to have that tender heart, to be willing to change. And you see, the Word of God is so special, so good. It is not only show you what is wrong, but show you how to correct what is wrong. For correction, you see. So that is very special, right? It points a way out of that problem. And we live in a world that is plagued with the miseries of sin. And the Word of God shows us the way out. The way to have victory. The way to be successful. You know, this again, I give morning's example. We were studying the two tribes, Zebulun and Issachar. How Zebulun and Issachar were tribes which are endowed with so much, and yet how Issachar became a vassal tribe to the Canaanites. What happened? Well, they did not cherish, they did not value the good heritage that they had. The words of advice that were given were not taken stock of. So, you know, the Lord wants us to be able to grow. That's why Paul says to make us the perfect man. The word perfect means complete. The word perfect means mature. So that we can be mature. When we are willing to listen, to hear, rebuke, that's good for our soul. And that is what Solomon is saying to us here in our text. It is better to hear the words of the wise. And Paul tells us that we are living in Satan's world. We are living in what he says, perilous times, right? Times which are fierce, harsh, savage, where sin abounds. And you know that the mind, you are living in that minefield, that any time you take a wrong step, you will get blown up and you will get injured. Some of these injuries would be permanent. And the scar of it, you know, you would carry for life. And so the Lord tells us that this is the kind of world that we live in. And Solomon is telling us, right, he has spent 6 chapters to show us the meaningless life. Right? The meaningless life that, you know, men and women in this world go after, that broad way. And the Lord tells us, no, don't go that broad way. He tells us, and Paul gives to us, the telltale behaviors that characterize imperfection, inadequacy, and depravity of men. Right, he says here in 2 Timothy 3, right, 2 to 5, men will be lovers of themselves, selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, self-lovers, covetous, lover of money, boasters, arrogant, proud, haughty, blasphemers, slanderous, speaking words against God, no reverence for God, speaking evil of others, disobedient to parents, parental authority in the home breaks down. Right? When authority is not honored, parental authority is spurned, that's where problem comes. But this is the world that we lived in, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truth breakers, cannot keep promises, false accusers, incontinent, lack of self-control, abusive, that's the word fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, betrayers, harsh, very heady, very rash, high-minded, arrogant and proud, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Seem godly, but it is not genuine. That's something that we have to, that Solomon is asking us to see and see through. And so, Solomon is saying that, be willing to hearken to the words of the wise, to be willing to hearken to God and His counsel. It is profitable for doctrine, for correction, or for reproof, for correction, right? So that it will set us on the path of righteousness, or path, the right path again. That's important, right? You know, how to put away sin, how to put on holiness. And you see, the world today, the men in the world, they are so plagued by sin, that they find no way out. And they are so saddened by the ravages of sin in their life. If you are able to show them a way out, when I said you are able to show them a way out, what I mean is that, you know, we must have victory ourselves in our own lives. We must lift out the efficacy of the gospel in our lives. And then, you know, recommend it to someone. Show them that this gospel is able to help you overcome sin, give you the strength to have victory. And so, God today is still saving sinners because He is not willing that they perish. And He sends us forth as His ambassadors to be His witness. But our lives have to be prepared so that we can be good ambassadors for the Lord. And the Lord wants us to grow. Grow in spirituality. Grow in holiness. And it takes time to grow. We must not be too hasty to rush on, but be willing to let God show us how we ought to move. And so, Paul's secret of power is to transform unholy men to make him holy. Right? And you see, the Bible is such a wonderful book. So divinely profitable that when you read it, study it with prayer, God is going to show forth His fruit in your life. And that's so important, right? He wants you to have fruit. And how do you bear fruit? By willing to hear the word of God, hearken to it. And, you know, the Lord tells us that the Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to the word of God. And our trouble, right, is that we are not willing to be able to listen and to have that willingness to hearken. That's why, you know, we go on with our ways, no change, and, you know, no proper profit at the end. And so the Lord wants us to grow. The Lord wants us to be profitable for Him. And therefore, we need to have that kind of a spiritual demeanor. When David and his fugitive men helped to take care and protect Nabal's sheep, the Bible tells us that Nabal received the help and left them high and dry without providing for their needs. And David was very upset and he wanted to kill Nabal. Abigail stopped David with this rebuke. 1 Samuel 25, 32 to 33. David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which send thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand." David restrained himself, and God's judgment came upon Nabal For in very deed, 1 Samuel 25:34 says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which has kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning any that pisteth against the wall. And so David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thy house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, and he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. You see here, God's hand in the lives of his people, so important that we do not take things into our own hands. I shared with you the last time I went to Kamaman, you know, there was a man who took my seat, you know, and he refused to get out. And he sat there. And I went to the driver, and the driver went to him and asked him, get out. He refused to get out. And so after I got out, we were in a break. We all stand at a site, and I met him, and I said to him one more time, would you let me have my seat back? Because if not, I don't know where I'm going to sit. Of course, the driver showed me another seat upstairs. But I was so upset in my heart. I said, how can you do that? You know, this man has no senses. And he says, I was very angry. And, you know, to the point where, wow, you can feel the blood, you know, moving into you, you know. And you can feel your fist clenching. Yeah. Then you have to force yourself to release it. Wow, not easy, you know. Went upstairs and just sleep. His wife that was with him scolded him, you know. Wow, scolded him. But he wouldn't hearken. And I cannot imagine myself laying a hand on him. You know, I would be at the police station. After that, cannot come back. You know, but at that moment when you are provoked, you know, wow, you feel the adrenaline flowing, but you realize that you have to restrain yourself. And oftentimes, you know, we find that is something that we are weak, you know, and oftentimes we fall because, you know, we can't restrain ourselves. We fail to exercise self-control in various situations in our life. But the Lord wants us to build in ourselves a spiritual demeanor such that we have that ability within us. Of course, there was a good friend of mine, we were traveling together, and he counseled me. Right? He tells me that, hey, no, don't do that. He's a military man, you know, former military man. So you would have done something to help me if he wanted to, but he said, no, let's not do that. And I had to calm myself down and to learn to submit, you know, to the counsel. It was so difficult, so hard. It was a nearly midnight. You are tired, you know. You just want to have your seat and sit down and be able to have a good rest and sleep after, you know, more than a night without proper sleep. You are tired. Oftentimes, it comes like that. you are tired, you don't feel good, you know, then a temptation comes to try you. Ah, that's when we need to be willing to hearken. Right. Receiving rebuke with humility, patience, and a willingness to change makes the wise. William Barrick. Spurning, verse 5b to 6. Be willing to be a man who would be counseled than a man to hear the song of fools. Verse 6 says, for as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Indeed, we saw how Nabal, with all his wanton pleasure, saw a sad end. So sometimes, you know, you can face such situations, unjust situations. What do you do? Would you take matters into your own hands, or would you ask God to help you if you are willing to come down and pray and ask God to strengthen you and help you? Would God not help? Well, surely God would help. But at that moment of testing, you are tempted to just, you know, be out of control. But that shouldn't be the case. So the Lord wants us to learn well. I quote from William Barrick again. He says, Solomon utilizes a punt to drive the point home in verses 5 and 6. He contrasts the song of fools with the crackling of the thorn bushes under the pot. The word song, the word bushes, and the word pot has a similar sound in the original. And therefore, when you read it, you'll be able to see a kind of a nursery rhyme, you know, that helps you to remember this counsel. Thorn bushes crackle pleasantly in the fire, but the flames quickly consume them without any enduring heat with which to heat a pot of water or food. You know, when you're asked to make a campfire, sometimes you go and take the twigs from everywhere, and sometimes these twigs are wet, you know, and you try to light it. You can't. It will burn for a while, it cracks a few times, and that's it, the fire runs out. Right? That's what it's saying here. Okay, the heat they produce is temporary. Right? The humor and laughter of fools possesses a fleeting benefit. So sometimes, you know, you feel yourself, next verse is going to talk about oppression. Okay? Sometimes you feel yourself, you know, in a disadvantaged situation. But we need to realize, right, that God is in charge and God is in control. And if we are willing to trust the Lord, willing to seek the Lord, would the Lord not help us? Surely He will defend His people. And so here we are saying that be willing. Right, be willing to listen. Be willing to change. A good paraphrase of our text is given by Solomon is in Proverbs 27:5-6. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Rebuke kindly and considerately and prayerfully administered cements friendship rather than loosens it. Charles Bridges. Right. So Paul says in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The literal translation. Brethren, if also a man be overtaken in some trespass, you, the spiritual one, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, humility, courtesy. Looking at yourself, lest you also may be tempted. What are you to do? Restore, it means to set right. Help this person to be on the right path again. And it is a command. We do not have an option not to do it. We are to do so as long as the occasion arises each time. And with gentleness, it describes this trait as one that aids the sinner to repentance. Right. How we are to do it? With gentleness, not in self-righteousness. Think not ye stand, lest ye fall. The woman who was caught committing adultery by the scribes and the Pharisees were brought to Jesus. Should she be stoned according to Mosaic law? Asked the scribes and the Pharisees. Our Lord did not answer, but wrote on the ground. When they pressed him for an answer, he gave a most gracious answer. He says, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. What was the Lord doing? You know, as we think about this text, our Lord gave an opportunity for the woman to repent. She is not sentenced by our Lord immediately, as advised by the scribes and the Pharisees, condemned without recourse. Indeed, our Lord, the judge of judges, is gracious to her. Who are the scribes and the Pharisees to condemn her when even God is gracious to give her an opportunity to repent? Truly, this woman was restored in the spirit of meekness by our Lord. The people who heard our Lord are made to realize their own sinfulness. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Praise the Lord. May God grant us a heart willing to hearken to his counsel. Hearkening, spurning. May we be willing to hear the counsel of God's voice for our eternal edification and strengthening. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for granting to us thy mercy in showing us thy word. Lord, help us to take hold of thy word and help us to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.